Praise God, everybody. Good morning. It's a blessing to be here, and it's only by God's grace that I am. You know, I've been very blessed in the last couple weeks, and the Lord's given me a full-time job, and very grateful for it today. I would say Friday I was in my own little temper tantrum, I guess. You know, we plan on coming here and wake up, going to mow the yard, go out. Battery's dead in the lawnmower. You know, that's great. Then go in, clog the toilet. Plunger's broken. So, you know, James is standing in, oh, thank you, Lord, you know? No, not at all. James is pissed off, you know? All I wanted to do was mow the darn grass. So I go out and I get the mower started and start mowing and sitting there and it, you know, the Lord, it's like, you know, have I blessed you? Yes, Lord, you have. Is there anything that you've lacked? No, Lord, there isn't. And I had to realize, you know, how grateful are we for the provision of God? You know, we really aren't. And what's that? I mean, I don't think my faith was more than the scribes or the Pharisees right then. You know, it was a sad moment. So, you know, I asked for forgiveness and keep mowing. Of course, then the mower belt breaks, you know. So I'm like, well, maybe the other deck has a belt that'll work. You got to take a bunch of guards off, put it on. No, it's too long. Didn't get upset then. I was, praise God, you know. Apparently it was time to get off the mower. And what do? I go inside, we're getting ready. We shut all the lights off and stuff. And I don't extend grace to my wife. Yeah, you know, I'm asking her, is this off, is that off? And she's not doing it precisely how I want. So, of course, James goes right back where he was. And her comment was, James, South Carolina's not going to burn down. So when we get here, is it burned down, James? Has it burned down? No, honey, it hasn't. But, you know, if we're not willing to just trust the Lord and praise Him in all things, regardless of the circumstances, you know, we sang that song, Jesus, I love you. What was I loving Jesus? Not at all. Not one bit. You know? We're supposed to stand firm in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. I was lacking it considerably. And then I was reading in Luke 17 this morning, like verse 3. You know, it says, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day and 7 times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent. Thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Thanks, Paul. You know, and praise God, you know, if we're called to do that to one another, how much more does the Lord forgive us? Amen. You know? So, you know, it's time to put off this man and, you know, just really trust in that faith that Davey brought up Tuesday. You know, we're all supposed to walk in Jesus' faith. Have faith in Jesus' faith, because Jesus had the faith to know that he was the sufficient sacrifice and God would raise him from the dead. And without that, we have no chance. Amen.
I was really excited about the out that I just thought I had just then. I was like, you know, James is going up there. Paul can follow afterwards and woo! I can just listen. Just show up. Hey, Paul, yeah. I'm telling Paul, you know, James really wants to get up there. And you know, Paul, he can take my place. Paul looks at me. I was thinking you can take mine. So, yeah, well, whatever you would like to have, Paul. But praise God. Praise God. Man, I've been listening to Luke a lot, which is amazing he went to Luke. And, you know, one of those things is gratefulness. I was just talking about the children of Israel to my kids not too long ago. I think it was last week when we had Bible study. And they murmured all the time. They murmured all the time. And they murmured because of the unbelief that the Lord was going to take care of them. They didn't ask. It says, let your request made known unto God. But they didn't do that. They said, you know, we had it better in Egypt. And, you know, what I've been wanting to ingrain in my family and myself is, well, you know, the opposite of murmuring and complaining is gratefulness. Being grateful what the Lord has done for us. I mean, the Lord's been faithful when I'm not. You know, James was sitting there talking about Jesus' faith. Jesus' faith. And I looked and I take a look back on my life and I seen where many times I was in worry and I was in doubt and then I was in all these things that was unbelief. But the Lord yet showed Himself to me faithful and provided and delivered yet over and over and over again. And that's something to be grateful for. I mean, we look at, I mean, we really are spoiled. I mean, in the fact, I mean, Americans in this society, period. I mean, even if you take the most homeless part of America, is still better off than these third world countries out there. I mean, the Lord's been good. He's been more than good and more than gracious. And that's the point. I mean, that's the point. We fall short in our faith. You know, when David messed up with Bathsheba and Uriah, he committed that thing, yet the Lord still was with David and did not cast him off. And that was about His grace. I mean, isn't that the point of the gospel? I mean, our testimony isn't one of, oh man, we have fulfilled the commandment of the Lord. It's not one of that. No, it's, man, I went out and I made a mess of myself. And I got myself in a situation that was just terrible. Where I should have died. And yet the Lord had grace upon me. Isn't that the gospel? In the bottom of the pit, nowhere to look except up, and the Lord had His grace in His hand, reached down, pulling us up out of that mire. Isn't that what the gospel is? That's what it's about. That's what it is about. And I look at the children of Israel, and I look, and I've seen where they murmured and complained and murmured and complained. And I look at myself, and I've seen where I murmured and complained and murmured and complained. But there was a time, even though the Lord had showed up for me in all those times in my life, doesn't make me right. Doesn't prove that I have done anything good. None of those things. No, it just proves that He's good and that He is faithful. That's what it shows. But you also see a time, where the Lord requires belief from them. Requires a gratefulness from them. Requires an obedience from them. Does He not? You know, that time where He fed the children of Israel in the evening with quail, in the morning it rained dew, and He gave them a commandment. And that was to save none of those things. Eat what you need and then go on about it. And He was going to see if they would obey Him and trust Him every day for that provision or not. But no, they didn't. But they kept it back, and that bread became like worms, and it stunk, I think is what it said. And Moses was wroth, and that's really where I stopped. But I mean, now I'm looking at this, and I said, you know, I believe the Lord's calling us as a body to see if we're going to obey His word. If we're going to believe His word and obey His word. and go forward in that. I mean, you don't stay at the children of Israel the whole time where the Lord just keeps showing up and showing up and showing up, and you don't step out in faith and belief on the gospel. I mean, you've seen that. We have an example of that first generation right there not entering into the promised land because of what? Unbelief. And Joshua and Caleb did because they believed. And if we're going to be His body, or if we're going to actually be His body, we're going to believe God. Amen. That's what Jesus did. He had the perfect faith, as James was saying, and obeyed God the Father in all things, and was obedient unto death. And that was the other point I wanted to get to. They overcame Him. That was Satan. By the blood of the Lamb. By the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Blood of the Lamb I have. Word of His testimony I have. Love not my life to the death. Ooh. That's a big one. I struggle with that one. I get in a bad situation. Oh, God help me, I'm going to die. Trying to stir up a steer into a horse trailer. James, tell my wife I love her. Where's our protective plywood? You know, Tristan's over there. Scott, what if he kicks me? What if he kicks me? You know, I don't know, Tristan. Get in a fetal position and cry. You know, truth of the matter, I was just as scared as he was, but he was saying more about it. So I was like, glad I didn't get that response. Thanks, Tristan, for taking that one for me. But I mean, seriously. Seriously. And we have that perfect example. And I was just listening to Luke. And the biggest thing that the Lord... Man, I don't know. I know that. Look, I don't even, you know, I say I know. I don't know. I don't have a freaking clue. But one of the things is I was looking at Jesus. I mean, when He went to that cross, that was painful. They tore Him up. But I think the hardest part, and I could be wrong, was making that choice. I mean, he's in that place, and He's telling His disciples to pray. But, you know, they were falling asleep, and they went. And He was said it, I think in Luke it said he was in much temptation. An angel came there to strengthen Him. And He was saying, not my will be done, but yours. To the point of drops of blood sweating down His face. I mean, and I tell you a story. When Briley went to the dentist, she fought that dentist when she was younger to the point where there was broken capillaries in her face. And she was just resisting that bad. She so did not want to let that dentist get in her mouth. But that was just, and you can see the little spots on her face. Jesus resisted to not do His own will, but the Father's will, to the point of that became blood. Loving not His life unto the death. He did that for us. He did that for people out there. He did that for the whole world. And a gift of eternal life. And if He didn't do that, we wouldn't have a chance. And that's Jesus' love. And if we're going to be His body, we're not going to love our lives unto the death. And it's time to not to anymore. It's time to put that old carnal man down and be all about the Father's will. And that's been hitting me smack dad and the runners, man. But I want to go to Luke 14, verse 26. And it says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brother and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. I mean, let's look at that for a moment. If you don't hate not your own life, that means prefer not your own life, you can't even be his disciple. This hate isn't one of hate. I hate you. No, this is one of preference. Preferring the Lord above all. And I've always talked about this before. Man, you know what? If I'm not preferring the Lord before anything else in my family or anybody I'm in contact with, my brothers and sisters in the Lord, I'm really absolutely no good for them. Because the truth of the matter, I'm just loving myself. It's because I get the love that He has that is good for them. But I got to put the Lord before all those things. Love God, love one another. That is you last. That's what Jesus did. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Unless it comes down to, Lord, not my will be done, but yours every day. I mean, that's what it needs to be about. Because I tell you, I wake up and this old man, this old son of a gun wants his way, what he wants to do. All about him. And it's good for nothing. And it's at war with God. And I got to put that sucker to death every morning. That's the only way I'm going to be his disciple. That's the only way I'm going to know him. And I don't want to go to that place where I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. And not only that, by me not putting off that old man, how else am I going to tell anybody about him? It could be somebody else's soul at stake because I'm not going and delivering the Word of God that I should. Because I'm too busy about my own agenda, my own things. You know, what does it say in Timothy? We might just turn to it. Let me turn to it. We might turn back to Luke. But Timothy, 2 Timothy, and we've been here many, many, many times. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'll start with verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Man, we're supposed to be his army. We sang that song. They rush on the city, they run on the walls. Great is the army that carries out his word. The Lord utters his voice before his army. You know, before you can be a soldier in that army, a soldier, when he goes out and fights, he puts his life down. It's all about the fight. He knows that he can die out there. He doesn't care. He's obedient to the line of authority that is carried out and to the orders, even unto death. It doesn't matter. That's what soldiers do. His body is an army. And if we're going to be soldiers of any worth, we're going to be doing the same thing. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You put down your own life. You don't get entangled up with the affairs of this life, with the situations that come abroad. No, you're about the Lord and in the midst of all things. Lord, what would you have me do in this situation? Lord, it's about you. What would you have me do? Not caught up in the worries of it. And how are we going to take care of ourselves? And how are we going to get through this situation? Or I'm left here to die. No, it's all those things you don't care about. That's not your issue. That's the Lord's. And there's freedom there. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things are added unto you. He's going to take care of His soldiers. Not our problem. We don't need to be tangled up in that. If we're tangled up in that, we're really good for nothing. But to be trodden under the foot of men. But He's called us to be soldiers. That invite's there. You have free will. You can enter into that. Or you cannot. It's a choice. What do you want to do? Do you want to be a soldier for Jesus Christ or do you not? Do you want to enter in His rest or do you not? And the truth of the matter is, it's freedom. When you become His soldier, it's freedom for eternal life. When you become His soldier, it's freedom from the bondages of the things of this world. You have joy. That no man can take away from you. You can walk away from it, but no man can take it away from you. Here we have the bondage of the world, or the freedom in Christ Jesus. Which side are you going to fall on?
We got this old flesh anchoring us into the bondage. A couple of things. Those of us who've ever had a loved one who we had close to that has died has a sense of, for me, what I think was certainly one of the hardest things for Jesus as He went to the cross. And that was, He was in constant relationship with the Father, in constant fellowship and communication with the Father. And when He hung on the cross, the Father had to turn His back. He became a cursed thing for us. And so He wouldn't have to turn His back on those of them who would receive Him. He endured that for us. And like I said, for anybody that's ever lost a loved one that they were close to, you have a sense of how that was. The second thing is, we have in Colossians the charge to, and I'm not going there, this is a freebie, this is just a side dish. We're told to mortify the deeds of the flesh, right? In Luke 14:26, where He says, pick up your cross daily and follow Me. The cross is an instrument of death with which you carry around all the time to mortify the deeds of the flesh. You have to do it every time it rears up its ugly head and wants to run your life again. You just have to mortify the deeds of the flesh. Now, we started out this whole thing, and I thought I was going to go to James, probably do that on the Hour of Truth. Luke 17, let's see, we got, I might have time to read all 16. What we have there is Jesus is kind of hard preaching in 16. But His disciples never say anything. The Pharisees go after Him. But the disciples don't say anything until we get into 17. And when, you know, it's like kind of like, well, you know, this is not really for us. This is kind of do the same thing we do. This doesn't apply to me. I'm really, you know, I'm here. I'm with Jesus. I'm following after Him. This one can't be for me. And then 17, He goes, and You have to, if he sin against me seven times, you have to forgive him seven times, and they go, oh, God, increase my faith. That one struck where they were. That's us. Because that goes against everything we're raised in the natural with. Raised in the natural to look out for number one, get even with people, do unto others before they do unto you. The disciples were all fine until he started messing in their stuff. Increase our faith. And it just astounds me that they didn't have any trouble with any of the stuff he was talking about in 16. When it came to having to love one another. We're in trouble now. Having to forgive one another. We're in trouble now. I live there. That's a tough one to live with. It's somebody does something right into your face and you want to get even with them. That's the first default position you go to. That's not the godly position. The Jesus position is 70 times 7. What's it to you? When Jesus tells Peter in John 21, after his back and forth with agape and filio and agape and filio and finally filio and filio, and Peter says, well, John, what about this guy? Jesus says to him, what's it to you? What's it to you? And that's just about word for word exactly what he said. What is it to you, is it what he said? You got your own issues. You need to do what I told you to do. He's going to do what I tell him to do. You don't worry about that. That's between him and me. That's even Peter took, the resurrected conversation with resurrected Jesus Christ and tried to justify himself by what John was going to do. Distract, defer attention. That's how we are. We thank God that they were called, and because of that calling, after his resurrection, the power of the Lord fell on them, and they became mighty witnesses with testimony of Jesus and how good he is. But we're nothing different than him in John 21. We're no different than these right here. We don't have any problem with the pastor talking, sitting up there talking about, these criminal people and government and all this other stuff going on out here, the other churches backstabbing, and we don't have any trouble with that. When we say something that digs at us personally, we all are, if we're even pretending to seek the Lord, we go, oh man, I'm screwed. Increase our faith. If you're hardened, you don't even notice it and just pass it off. Listen, I hope nobody in here is hardened enough to pass it off. At least the idea of petitioning Jesus to increase our faith as a confession of our condition. And he can work with that. But if you just shine it on, there is no salvation for you in the hearing of the word. It only profits you when you're able to mix it with faith. Even if the faith is only how screwed up I am, Lord, increase our faith. He honors that. But the truth is, we either are all right now or have been at some time in that same condition. And it is a truth of how we are. I'm just going to insert for the record that 16 is a good chapter to read so that you understand what I'm talking about when it takes talking about forgiven trespasses in 17 before the disciples have any response whatsoever. It just amazes me. I've read 16. I'm going, hey, whoa. Oh, can we talk about 16 here? But then I get hung up in 17. Up 70 times 7, really? And I know I need my faith increased. But I've known so many people, and my mother was one for some time, who held a grudge a long, long time. If there's ever one person who had a grudge to hold, it was Jesus Christ. But he offered us grace and mercy and forgiveness and then commanded us to go do likewise. Simple gospel. Simple truth. Jesus died for you because he could kill you, but you would not. That death wouldn't satisfy. You're not perfect. He was. He could pay the price. He did it because he loved us and because we needed it. And anybody who can receive it can have it. And I know the simplicity of that is a rock of offense to those who have position, power, money, are well-respected members, love long-standing in big churches, who are very much prototypes, not prototypes, but examples of many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the rulers that Jesus was having to deal with back in his day. If they were successful, if they were powerful and well thought of, then they obviously were blessed of God. That's how our thinking hasn't changed in almost 2,000 years. That's still the way we think. We don't judge people by how successful their relationship with the Lord is, how much truth they speak, and whether or not the Lord confirms the word. And those are the only things that matter. You know, Hebrews says, today, don't harden your heart and fall after the example of the Israelites for 40 years in the desert. Don't harden your hearts. Diligently seek to know Jesus Christ and have him reveal the Father and how loving and merciful and gracious and covering he is of your sin with Jesus' righteousness. And I think I'm not.